Joining us now, very pleased to welcome back to the program, State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, how are you this morning?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We always appreciate it, you coming on. We're a week away, getting ready for, I guess this will be your first or your third return to Montgomery in the state legislature. Kind of fill us in, what are you looking at, big picture-wise? What do you expect? Obviously, probably not a whole lot going to get accomplished other than some very important blocking and tackling things in those first 2 weeks. But beyond that, who knows, right?
That's right. It's, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. You know, I know a lot of efforts have been made to put things in place so we could come back and get back to work like we should be. We're getting paid, so we need to be working. So, they're doing a lot. We're up here today for budget hearings this week and kind of going over some of that and just getting ready to get back in. And I guess after the immediate needs of the state, and then hopefully we can get some very important issues, taken care of also while we're here.
Does it seem like it's pretty much a standard issue budget hearings right now? I hear kind of conflicting things that maybe you want to get those budgets knocked out early. They are the constitutionally mandated thing the legislature does. But I've also heard from others that it's going to be easier said than done. What's kind of the early vibe you're reading there?
That's kind of what we're seeing. It's going to be different. Of course, everybody's got different demands and issues and needs due to the pandemic. And, so there's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be additional needs in the budget that's going to have to be addressed to handle the PPEs and the different procedures that's been placed on us by the CDC and, throughout the state. So, we'll have to evaluate the request and, kind of, I guess we'll get a chance to ask some questions and make sure that the needs that they're asking for is legitimate and what we need to give them.
Yeah, and that was like a big point of, discussion a couple of weeks ago, the CARES Act money being reappropriated to shore up the unemployment trust fund there. And then that would, let some local governments kind of wonder, well, what about us? How are we going to be reimbursed? Is that something you're going to have to address in this budget process, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, the county commissioners had already put in requests and ordered, different equipment, as far as metal detectors with temperature checks and different stuff and all kinds of needs across the board from the CARES Act money. And, now, looks like some of them are being told that, they may not be getting the money, the reimbursements for that. And that's going to put a major burden on a lot of the counties throughout the state. So we're going to have to reevaluate that and try to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our counties and taking care of local government, and making sure that we are doing what we said we were going to do.
Representative, on the COVID front, and we're talking, it's obviously the vaccine is out. It's being distributed. A lot of questions about the way the state of Alabama is handling it. What do you think of that? What are you hearing from your folks in your district?
I'm getting a lot of concerns about how long it's taken us to get it out to the elders. I understand that Dr. Harris and his staff are working hard with the county administrators, health administrators, to try to take care of this. And, hopefully they can get the glitches worked out. Of course, with everything, this is new to everybody. So, hopefully they've prepared enough and they can, it shouldn't take long to get the glitches worked out. We can get this out to the ones that need it that have underlying conditions that are more at risk than others. I just hope that they can get that up and running. I know we've got, the Daphne Civic Center doing it this morning, and from the reports on the news, it wasn't as many people in line this morning as it has been. So hopefully this will get easier and more normal, and we can, come up with the best ways to handle this as we move along.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just kind of a learning curve right now, but I guess it remains to be seen whether the state health department will catch up or not, but probably I think enough of your colleagues, particularly in the upper chamber, have voiced their frustration at perhaps that will get maybe an added degree of motivation, not that they weren't motivated already.
That's right, and I don't think there's I think some of the biggest problems is what I've seen in government is we have a tendency to do the bare minimum in some of these divisions and departments and, you know, give them the bare minimum and the bare minimum staff, the bare minimum equipment, and everything that they need to operate. Well, then when something goes wrong, it makes it worse because then you're trying to play catch-up to put the appropriate amount of staff and the appropriate amount of equipment in these departments to allow them to function and operate appropriately. So I think it's not all, the director's fault and stuff like that. I think we just, we as a government need to evaluate these divisions and make sure we're prepared. We're prepared. We're giving them the tools that they need to fight this disease and pandemic and take care of our people.
Joined by Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Representative, other than the, I guess, going to probably look at the codifying the governor's executive orders, which is, the taxation issues, economic development, and then maybe look at liability protection. And then obviously we mentioned the budgets. A lot of big picture stuff, like given the abbreviated session in 2020, 2021 might be the last chance to look at gambling or prisons or medical marijuana or whatever the big issue of the day or whatever you want to call it, because typically things aren't done in that fourth year, that out year of a quadrennium. How realistic do you think it is to be looking at something big the state could maybe try to accomplish this year?
I don't know. It's going to be kind of difficult to say with the unique circumstances that we're facing, but I'm definitely hoping that we can address these, like you said, the issues with the prisons. We have got to address that and try to come up with the best way. Like I've told you before, I just don't understand why we have to go with the PPEs, with the rent of prisons. And, I think that's going to be more costly in the long run, and I think we could do it better. But I also understand that, why the governor's taking the action she's taking, due to the conflicts and the lengthy time it's taken legislators to try to do something. So, we've got to address some of those issues. We definitely, every day that we neglect on voting on gaming and allowing the citizens to vote on it is another day the state's losing money. So, it's a shame that we have sit back and let every single state around us tackle this issue and bring it to play in their states, and then here we are still, not doing it. So I'm hoping that we can move forward and address that and hopefully get some benefits from that. There's a lot going on with the medical marijuana. I think with the opioid issues that we faced across the country, and as we do with everything, we kind of, the government has a knee-jerk reaction with everything. They go in there instead of trying to address some issues, they go in there and shut it down completely. And you have people that have legitimate needs and pains and problems that are no longer allowed to do that. And I think, if we're not careful, we can force them to go the wrong direction. So medical marijuana might be a solution to some of that, and definitely needs to be considered and evaluated and something we need to address. I understand the pandemic and the cautions and everything that we have, but I still believe, I'm a firm believer, that we need to get back to work and let's tackle some of these issues, and let's get the state where we need to be.
Representative, it's kind of interesting. I mean, we haven't talked a whole lot about it. Obviously, the prevailing health crisis in America is the pandemic. We haven't, and you served in law enforcement, so you probably got a firsthand view of a lot of it, but the opioid crisis still seems to be a thing. It hasn't gone away because of COVID-19, and particularly here in Alabama.
No, basically what I, from a law enforcement perspective, and what I've seen is the heroin use on the streets has increased. you know, a lot of people that are unable to get their needed medicines or whatever. I understand there are addicts and people that have problems, but there are legitimate needs out there for some of the pain medicines and opioids. And, you know, I think by completely shutting it down, locking up, you know, doctors and pharmacists and that kind of stuff, I think we've kind of forced issues where people are getting their need on the streets, and that's dangerous and not good for nobody. So, you know, it's still there, you know, and I definitely believe we need to address the issues, but I don't know if we've gone about it completely the right way. You know, I've always been told not to have a knee-jerk reaction, and I think we've, in a sense, had a knee-jerk reaction as legislators, not just locally but federally, in dealing with this problem. So, you know, the problem is real. I've had friends and family members that have lost their lives from it, so it's definitely a real problem, and we need to address it. But I think we need to really, you know, make sure we're going about this, you know, make sure we're not having any adverse problems from our decisions.
Rezidova, just a few more minutes here remaining, and I'm making this a personal crusade. Highway 45, since I've in my memory as a child, two-lane road, now it is four-lane through the state of Mississippi, all the way up to Illinois. But in Alabama here, two-lane portion of it, and we talked to your colleague, Brett Easterbrook, about this. Try to get the ball rolling and some movement on this. What needs to happen? How optimistic are you at this stage in time that we're going to see something like this in the near future?
I think with the with your assistance and you know, the assistance we get from Sean Sullivan and everybody else, I think we're going to see some momentum since the article that you wrote recently on it. You know, I've been contacted by the Coastal 150 group, which is a business tourism group in Mobile, Baldwin County, that have expressed a major interest in assisting us and making it one of their legislative priorities because of how it affects the tourism in Baldwin County and how it affects the commerce in Mobile and Baldwin counties with all the traffic. So I think we're going to have as good of a chance as any. You know, the Baldwin County legislative delegation is supporting this effort. The Mobile County legislative delegation is supporting the effort. Pretty much every mayor and council and county commissioner in Mobile, Baldwin County and Washington County are assisting us with it and writing letters of support. So I think we have a better chance now than ever. You know, I talked to Representative Steve McMillan from Baldwin County, and he said this has been it was a top priority in the 80s when he came into legislation. So the time is here. We've got to address this. And, you know, I've been meeting with the ALDOT director, Mr. Cooper, and the governor's chief of staff, Joe Bonner, and, you know, everybody's, you know, they're hearing me. So with your help, we're going to continue to fight this. And I'm very optimistic that we can get something done, but we're going to continue to fight it and definitely working hard. And it's been a lot of good people that worked on this over the years. And, you know, hopefully we can bring enough attention, you know, because it's not just, it is the deadliest highway in Alabama, but, you know, not only that, but it brings the economic interest to Mobile and Baldwin counties and surrounding counties. So we've got to do something. It's just now is the time to address this, and, you know, we're going to push it, and I'm going to definitely be a squeaky wheel and just keep pushing my agenda and pushing my issue on it until we can get something done.
But I tell you, like, when we start talking about cost and cost relative to the other big projects in this state, it doesn't seem like it would be all that. I mean, it would obviously be expensive. Anything government does has a price tag to it, but it has just been one of these things that has been neglected, in addition to what I think would be relatively low price tag to get this done. It is something that has been on the books from time to time. It was statutorily declared that it was going to be a priority, and then somewhere along the way, they took it off of the list of the time before, not just Rebuild Alabama time, but the time before that, when the gas tax was hiked. It was on the list of to-do projects, and somehow it got taken off. It just seems like there's never been really the big push to get it back on. I mean, is it going to take it back to the legislature? What's it going, or what do you think it's going to take other than just kind of getting the publicity?
I'm meeting with the legislative leaders. I'm meeting with Speaker McCutcheon this week on it, and, you know, just trying to get as much support. Like you said, you know, now would be the best time ever on top of all the needs, but now is the best time to address this issue because there is a lot of open space. There's not a lot of residents and a lot of businesses near the road, so it would be less expensive to tackle this project right now than to wait until there are more businesses and more residents close to the road. So, you know, we've got to address this and tackle it, and I'm not going to stop, you know. And, you know, J.E. Turner was a representative when I was a child in that area, and I know he fought for it, and he lost one of his teenage daughters on that road. And it's, you know, sad that people are losing their lives left and right, but I see it on a daily basis where the people are getting so impatient. You know, we have a lot of traffic come through there from Illinois, and, you know, and those cars, I watch them daily as they are, you know, past 10 cars just to get behind another one, trying to get somewhere. So, you know, most of the residents have understood they're just going to have to be patient and just slow down. And even in emergency situations,
right.
But a lot of the out-of-state people don't understand that. You know, last year we lost a teenage kid from Mississippi coming home from spring break being impatient and fast and had a head-on collision that cost his life and the life of a friend of mine, a truck driver. So, you know, it's got to be addressed, and I appreciate your help with it. I think your attention to it's going to help us, and hopefully now that we've got the Coastal 150 group with us and putting it as one of their legislative priorities,
you can make it happen.
Hopefully we can make it happen at this point.
Representative, sorry to cut you off there. We're running out of time, but thanks for making time for us. Stay safe up there, Montgomery.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And y'all have a blessed day.
You too, Representative Shade Stringer, ladies and gentlemen.